Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
You want the light?
Oh no, that's okay. So, this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Saves, text number 25. Vipida Santu Ta Sasvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darsanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhava Darsanam Vipida Santita Sasvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darsanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhavadarsanam Vipida Santita Sasvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darsanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhavadarsanam Vipida Santita Sasvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darsanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhavadarsanam. Suntu, let there be. Ta, all. Sasvat, again and again. Tatra, there. Tatra, and there. Jagadguru, O Lord of the universe. Bhavata, your. Darsanam, meeting, yet that which syat is apuna, not again. Bhavadarsanam, seeing repetition of birth and death. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada ki. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Purport. Generally, the distressed, the needy, the intelligent, and the inquisitive who have performed some pious activities worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of Yashins, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with a place where there is danger in every step. This material world is certified by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities, therefore the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger, and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the nine devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnanata Marandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Kotavachalam Pungun Lungai Degrim Yad Kripa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Banshikapatirvyasya Kripa Sindhavdevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare. In modern psychology, if they heard this prayer by Kunti, they would think there's something wrong with this lady. She needs help. Because everyone in the material world, they're looking for a comfortable life. Nobody's looking for calamity, but she's praying She's praying for calamity. This verse is actually one of the most famous verses in the Bhagavatam, because this prayer is just so selfless. It's so such a pure prayer, because she wants darshan. She wants darshan of Krishna constantly. And when there's difficulty, then people take shelter of God, of Krishna. And therefore there's a saying, there's no atheist in a foxhole. When there's calamity, people take shelter of God. And she's aware of that, and she had that experience. So much calamity. Here she is, she's a queen, you know, lived in a palace for her whole life. And now she's thrown into the forest, and her children are attempted to be killed in so many ways. So much calamity she went through. But she always took shelter of Krishna. So reversals are blessings. Don't waste reversals. All of us have had reversals, and there will be more. Because, as Prabhupada says here, Dukkhalayam Vasasatam, it's a place of suffering. There will be reversals. Don't waste them. They're opportunities to grow. Krishna gives us these calamities so that we can grow spiritually. But sometimes people, they can't appreciate, and they complain, well, why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? What did I do? But no, actually, we should accept it as a blessing for purification. The goal of the human form of life is to get purified. So these calamities are welcomed by devotees. Not only welcomed, but here, this very special devotee, she's praying for it. Anybody here ever pray for a calamity? Yeah, me either. Yeah. Actually, there's one statement Prabhupada says, for one who is desiring a comfortable life in Krishna consciousness, advancement will be very slow. So austerity or sacrifice is very good. Nayam lokostiyagyasya kutonya krusatama. Krishna says if one does not perform sacrifice or accept austerity, one cannot be happy in this life. What to speak of the next life. So austerities and sacrifice, this is good for our purification. And therefore Krishna also says, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices to Lord Vishnu and blessed them, saying, be thou happy by this sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and attaining liberation. So this is actually how to attain happiness. Sacrifice for Krishna. So it's very auspicious to be in a difficult circumstance. And therefore, Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, Chaturvatha Bhajantimam, that there's four types of people that they go to Krishna. And one of them, the most prominent, and the first one is those who are distressed. Those who are distressed, pious people, they'll go to Krishna. Just like Vaisheshika Prabhu recently, he was in Mexico, and I spoke to him after he had gone to Mexico, and he said, you know that saying, Vijay, right? There's no atheist in a foxhole. He said, well, there's also no atheist in Mexico. Yeah. People are pious. Yeah. They may not have all the amenities that we have in first world countries, but the people are pious. One devotee was just telling me he's going to move to Mexico and he's just going to go there and preach like anything. People are so pious. Yeah. But if you go to first world countries, like you go to Europe, atheism is like 90% or something. Yeah. Very prominent. Why do I need God? I got everything I need. I don't need God. That's for the poor people. So, it's a blessing to be in a circumstance where one is dependent on God. And this is actually the goal of life, is to depend on God, ask for His protection, and surrender to Him. And therefore, in this purport, Prabhupada mentions this verse, Samasataye parapalava plavam mahapuram punya somrari bhavam bhir bhatsa paramparam paramparam yadvi param natesham. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, this vast ocean of material existence becomes no bigger than the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Very easy to cross over a little puddle of water. And what is their destiny? The spiritual world. Not this place where there's danger at every step. So, in this material world, it's a difficult place to cross over. Therefore, Krishna is Daivihesa, Gunamai, Mamamaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who surrender unto me, they can very easily cross beyond it. So it's just, it takes some endeavor on our part to surrender to Krishna. But what is the result? If we surrender to Krishna, we achieve Krishna. So it's an austerity, no doubt, to give our life, to give up our sense gratification, and act for the sense gratification of Krishna. Yeah. But we benefit so much, we can't imagine. So we have to surrender. And there's these six processes, or six ways of surrender. Anukuyasya sankalpa, accepting things that are favorable for devotional service. So Prabhupada has set up this society so nice. There's so many favorable things that we're doing that help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And we have to reject things that are unfavorable. So many things we have to reject because this is Maya's kingdom. Yeah. So we have to discriminate what's good, what's bad, and reject those things which are bad. To accept the instructions of the spiritual master, very, very favorable. And fortunately, we get so many nice instructions by Srila Prabhupada. Just an ocean of wonderful instructions given to us by Srila Prabhupada in these books. You know, so the spiritual master, he's like the captain. This body is like a boat, yeah, that can help us cross over this vast ocean of material existence. And the spiritual master is the captain on the boat. If you're in the middle of the ocean and you don't have an engine on your boat and you don't have any wind, you're just going to sit there. You're not going anywhere. Right? Like Prabhupada, when he left India in 1965, he had two heart attacks in the Arabian Sea. Yeah. And he said, if I had another, I don't think I would have made it. So then he goes into the Atlantic Ocean. And the ocean is so calm. It's like a mirror. Yeah. And the captain was shocked. He'd never seen anything like it. Yeah. And then Prabhupada's on the boat and he has a dream. Krishna comes to him in a dream. And he's got all these incarnations of Krishna on the boat in front of him. And they're pulling the boat. And they're encouraging Prabhupada. Everything will be okay. Imagine having a dream like that. So many incarnations of Krishna are on a boat. And Krishna's leading the way. Everything's okay. Come on, let's go. Imagine that. So then Prabhupada got to New York, and the captain's wife said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, please, can you go back with us? The ocean was so calm. We've never seen it like that. Please, can you go back with us? So Prabhupada made things smooth. Recently, I was in Vrindavan. Would you like to hear a couple more Prabhupada pastimes? I was amazed to hear this, something you may not have heard yet. There's one devotee in Mayapur. His name is Bhakti Siddhanta Das. He's the one that's doing these. He does a lot of the Prabhupada Murtis, and he's doing a lot of the Murtis for the TOVP. He's an incredible artist, sculpturist. So he was here when they had that amazing two-month marathon to get those 17 books printed. It was not only was the whole BBT on a marathon, the energy was so... Were you here then, Maharaj? The energy was so... Oh, Archita Prabhu was here. He was in the marathon. So the energy was so intense that everybody in every department went on a marathon. Everybody. The book distributors, the Spanish BBT department, everybody was on a marathon. It was just an incredible energy spurred on by Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, every night it was just, the Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu was telling me that every night the kirtans were getting more and more intense because of this marathon mood. And Prabhupada was on the Vyasan also, he would come to these kirtans. He didn't stay for the entire 2 months. He was supposed to because of the Bengali editing, but he had other things to go on to. So the last night the Prabhupada was there, the kirtan was just out of this world. It was just, and it's not like, we have a good number of devotees here, but at that time, how many devotees were here at that time? About 200? There's about 200 devotees in the kirtan, if you can imagine that, just completely fired up. So this kirtan was just going and going. Prabhupada, at one point, he got off the Vyasasana, and he started dancing too. At that point, I mean, everybody just went wild. There was nobody that wasn't dancing. Everybody was just like in total ecstasy. To see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he's at that time, what is he, 74 or something, 75, something like that. So Prabhupada's dancing so enthusiastically, and everybody's just going berserk. So after the kirtan, Prabhupada speaks into the microphone. Did you see them? And they're like, did we see who? They're looking at each other. Did you see Narada Muni? He was here. Lord Shiva was here. Brahma, did you see them? And everybody's like, whoa. So they were here in that kirtan. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. He told me of another story. He was talking to one servant. And this servant, he was waiting outside Prabhupada's room. If there's any service he needed from Prabhupada. So he's waiting out there, and there's no one in the room but Prabhupada, but then he hears some shuffling. Something's going on in the room, so he didn't want to disturb Prabhupada, so there was a little keyhole there. So he looked through the keyhole room there, and he sees Prabhupada moving around on the floor, kind of shuffling around on the floor. And he's like, wow, I wonder what's going on there. So he didn't open the door. He didn't knock or open the door. About 3 hours later, he was with Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, you know, in the room I heard some shuffling, some noise there, and I looked through it. You were on the ground shuffling around. What was that? Oh yeah, I was wrestling with Balaram. Okay, Jai Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, he's not, of course, we all know he's not an ordinary person, but there's just so many things, so many amazing pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And he also had many calamities. Before he even left India, so many calamities he had to go through. Just like he was trying to preach, and he wasn't having much success. Then he got this place he got this building donated to him. What was the name of that city? Jhansi. He got a building donated to him. So he's thinking, oh, good, this is really good. Now I'll be able to do some preaching. So he was preaching there in Jhansi, and he was going around different cities around Jhansi, and people were coming, and it was very inspiring, encouraging. Now I'll be able to get some preaching going. But then some of the ladies there, they wanted that building to be used as a women's club. And they approached Prabhupada, Swamiji at the time, and they said, we want to use this as a women's club. And Prabhupada said, no, we're using this as a temple. It's been donated to me. Please, you can get one somewhere else. And then they had some connection with the governor's wife. So they got her involved to get this building. And then it was too much. So Prabhupada had to give it up. And he was a little disappointed. But he said, I'm not a man to be easily discouraged. So he took that as a sign from Krishna. Let's go on to the west. Because he had been instructed that in that way by his spiritual master. So because of that calamity, Prabhupada went to New York City. Had that calamity not taken place, maybe Prabhupada would have expanded there in India, and, you know, went on nicely with that project there in Jhansi, and went on and, you know, preaching in India. So Krishna has his plan. We have our plan. And Krishna's plan is always the best. So he took that as a sign from Krishna. And then just to get out of India, so much calamity, so difficult. Yeah, this was it the P form and to get the passport, just so much. Yeah. He had no money. He was begging. He had nothing. 40 rupees when he got to nothing. So he experienced so much calamity. But so many good results came from his sacrifice, coming to America and doing this great sacrifice of spreading Krishna consciousness. And this is actually the duty of all devotees of Krishna. Therefore Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, prana artha dhyā vācā śreyaṁ acaraṇam sadā. He says it's the duty of all living entities to give their life, prana, to give their life for the benefit of others. And what is the most beneficial thing that anybody can achieve? The message of Godhead, the message of Krishna. Sarva-sukhino bhavantu. And therefore, our mission, we have a nice mission in this Krishna consciousness movement. Our mission is to help everyone become happy. What a nice mission, huh? That's a big challenge. Huh? Big challenge. Yeah. Of course, we're getting some result, from distributing books and preaching. Yeah. People are coming and they're experiencing the joy of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says in one purport, he wanted devotees that will dedicate their life to giving Krishna to others. Now, throughout the world, people are dedicating their life for what? To satisfy their senses. Isn't it? Everybody, practically. Throughout the world. Because they think there are their senses. They think there are their body. But we're so fortunate, we're getting some understanding. I'm not my senses. I'm not my body. I'm spiritual. I'm part of Krishna. Krishna wants this message distributed around the world. So we should want what Krishna wants. There's one great devotee. He said, if there's something that I really, really like and Krishna doesn't like it, I'm not interested. I don't like it either. And if there's something I really, really, really don't like and Krishna likes it, then I love it. Interesting. Just like many of us, before we joined, we were eating meat, unfortunately. We didn't know better. And sometimes we liked it, right? But now, if someone offers us a hamburger, please take this hamburger, eat it, I'll give you $1 million. Some might slip. But most devotees would say, no, you keep your hamburger, you keep your $1 million. Why? Because Krishna is not poor. He doesn't need money. But what attracts Krishna is pure consciousness. If we eat a hamburger, then our consciousness goes down to the drain. Yeah? Finish. So devotees aren't interested in the things that we used to really like. Now we're completely, just like these supermarkets, there's so many things in these stores that we used to eat. Yeah? But now we wouldn't even think of it. Because, yeah, Prabhupada said, if we eat foods that are prepared by non-devotees, our heart becomes wicked. Therefore, we don't eat anything that's prepared by non-devotees. We take the vegetables from the store, we take the fruits, bas, nothing else. Because when people prepare food, their consciousness is also going into the food. Therefore, you only eat foods that's been cooked by devotees, because they're doing it for Krishna. So this is the goal. Everything is meant to be done for Krishna. Yeah. And this is what will purify us of all contamination. Now there's an interesting statement here that Prabhupada makes in the last sentence. He says, contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path back to Godhead. So, in another place, Prabhupada says, in a purport, Prabhupada says that Krishna is more anxious for us to go back to Godhead than we can even desire. So Krishna wants us to go back. He doesn't want us to continue suffering in this world. Yeah. Why? Because he's the father. He's everyone's father. When the father sees the sons or daughters suffering, then it gives pain to the father. Right? So the more we become pure, the more we please Krishna. The more we please Krishna, the more we get purified. And as we're on this purification process, we should also try to help others get on this path, this bhakti marg, this path back to Krishna. If we do that, then Prabhupada said, then you're on the fast lane back to Godhead. Fast lane back to Godhead. If we can also help others by this prana, artha. Prana means giving one's life, artha, giving one's wealth. Just like we have the shastra done. Many devotees, they give Lakshmi. They can't go out on book distribution, so they give some Lakshmi for book distribution. It's another way to spread Krishna consciousness. Prana, artha, diya. Once he gives one, give one's intelligence on how to give Krishna, how to help people, how to convince them to take books. Just like sometimes when we're distributing books, people, they give various excuses of why they don't want to take a book. One of the most classic excuses I ever heard was when I was in Australia going door to door, book distribution. And I knocked on the door and this man opened the door and he saw I had the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, no, I'm not interested. I worship Satan. I said, oh, okay. Well, you know, this book is about God. So you should know your enemy. He said, all right, good point. All right, I'll take one. He gave a nice donation and took a Bhagavad Gita. So that's the most extraordinary excuse I ever heard. You know? I worship Satan. I'm not interested. But he got a book anyway. So we got the Christian is known as Diyam Pati, which means the Lord of Intelligence. So we had to pray to Krishna for intelligence on how to convince people to accept this great mercy. You see, he was thinking that God is his enemy. But actually, Krishna, he's the best friend. He's the best friend of everyone. Surya, he's the best friend. Right? Krishna's the best friend of everyone. Can't imagine. Everybody likes to have a best friend. Right? So there's no better friend than Krishna. He's such a good friend that one can be a complete rascal nonsense like Stalin or Hitler or the president of the Atheistic Society in America. But Krishna is still there in the heart waiting for that person to turn to him. Krishna's so kind, he's so friendly. He never turns his back away from us. Although we've turned our back away from Krishna, Krishna will never do that. He'll always be with us, no matter what we do. But the reason we're here is so that we could change our consciousness so that we can go back, as Prabhupada says, so that we can receive admittance back again into the devotional service of the Lord, the mysterious region of transcendence. That's what devotional service is, the mysterious region of transcendence. This material world, it's the gross region of materialism, sense gratification. So devotional service means we enter into the mysterious region of transcendence. Yeah. This is where the soul is satisfied. Yeah. Only when the soul is in connection with the Supreme Soul, Krishna, are we going to be satisfied. Otherwise, we're going to be disappointed. Just like there was that famous song, I can't get no satisfaction. Famous song. Is it still famous amongst the youth? Yeah, is it? Amazing, huh? And they'd be singing it, yeah, I can't get no satisfaction. And that's the nature of this world. You can't get any satisfaction in this world. Only in devotional service can one attain the satisfaction that we're all searching for. So on that note, is there any question? Comment? Correction? Or donation? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Fired up kid there.
That's really good.
Thank you.
I feel like you're just sitting in your class is like a meditation. I feel like I just chanted 128 rounds. Yeah.
Thank you.